And once again, welcome. My lesson this evening is going to be a practical lesson directed toward each and every one of us as individuals as we examine our lives. It is certainly my belief that we want to grow the way that God would want us to grow. And we're going to talk about Bible reading this evening, which we're going to see is something that is instrumental in us growing the way that we ought to. This particular lesson is actually based upon some material that I've come across over the course of the last year, and when I say I've come across it, I've listened to a couple of sermons dealing with the subject of Bible reading by Mark Roberts. Now that name may not mean a whole lot to you, but I'll tell you, Mark Roberts is a gospel preacher. He is currently preaching in Irving, Texas, and I believe he used to preach in California at some point. But what's interesting is he has done a lot of work on Bible study. As a matter of fact, our 5-day Bible readings that we have been handing out for a number of years, they came from Mark Roberts. And just to let you know a little bit of a background, and that's I just wanted to let you know that some of the ideas that we will be dealing with this evening are based upon some of the things that he has presented. But it is my lesson, as we will see as we go on. But Bible reading is certainly something that we ought to give consideration to. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse number 15, as Paul is giving instructions to young Timothy there, he makes the point to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And as we've noted on numerous occasions in that particular passage, the King James Version uses the expression, study to show thyself approved unto God. And we've noted how the idea of study is associated with the idea of diligence. And it means the idea of doing your best, giving your absolute best as you seek to be approved to God. And you're going to do that by properly using the Word of God. And so as I begin this evening, I want to do so by simply asking the question, what is your attitude toward Bible reading? And we're going to just make a slight bit of a distinction between Bible study and Bible reading, even though they are definitely related to each other. And I ask you, when it comes to reading your Bibles on a regular basis, could I do a better job than I do when it comes to reading the Word of God? And does reading the Word of God actually help me the way that it ought to? One of the things that I'm convinced about is time that we spend in the Word of God is directly related to our spiritual growth. In other words, the way that we grow spiritually, it's one of those characteristics that you're going to find is very likely associated with your spiritual growth. And it's associated with what I call a spiritual indicators. How important is the Bible to me? And if you're not reading the Bible on a regular basis, the Bible's not as important as it ought to be. And that's just a truth that we need to give consideration to. Now, when I'm talking about Bible reading, I'm not just dealing with, I'm making, like I said, a slight distinction between that and when we talk about studying your Bibles. Typically, when we think of studying the Bible, it's more of the idea of an intense examination. You might be dealing with a particular subject, or you might be dealing with a book of the Bible or things associated with that, and how it ties together into the entire Word of God. And certainly that's associated with reading, but the idea of reading is it's just opening your Bible on a regular basis and spending time reading the Bible. And here's the important thing, intending to learn from it. Paying attention to what you are reading. And that's the point as we talk about reading the Word of God. And so I need to ask myself, as I spend time reading the Word of God, is my Bible reading effective? Is it making me a better Christian? Is it drawing me closer to God? Making me more of what I ought to be? So that's what we want to focus on in our lesson a little bit this evening. And when we talk about the idea of Bible reading, one of the things to keep in mind in that is if we want to have effective Bible reading, it's going to involve planning. And it's going to involve the idea of alertness. And what I mean by alertness there is aware of what it is actually saying. And the point that I am making there is, there are people that read their Bibles for a number of different reasons. For some, it's just become a habit. You might have somebody that says, you know what, I read my Bible every day, but do you know what you're reading? You know, that's the question. Or maybe somebody has some kind of a goal. I'm going to read through the entire Bible in a year. And that's certainly a good goal. And on the back of the bulletins each week, as well as at the beginning of the year, I'll give you a handout which can help you to read through the entire Bible in a year if that's what you want, if that is what you intend to do. But if you're going to do that, do you just pick up the book and just start reading and not think about what it says? And the words are just kind of going in through your eyes and out the back of your brain. And about 5 minutes after you get done reading, if you were asked, what did you just read? Oh, I have no idea. Maybe you can just tell the text, but not what it's about. That's the point. We want our reading to be more than that. We don't want it to be about some trivial quest. You know, how many times does the Bible use the word God? Or maybe some people they go to the Word of God and they read it because they've got some kind of an agenda and they want to set out to prove something that they want to do. You know, even though they shouldn't be doing it. Don't let those be the attitudes. We're talking about reading the Word of God with the intention of learning what God's Word says, and over the course of time that it will help us grow, and that it'll reach a point to where we know the Word of God better than we do right now. And that's the goal, is to reach that point where we're continuing to grow in our understanding of the Word of God and just being more and more familiar with it. It used to be said, and some who are of the older generation probably heard this before, members of the Lord's Church used to be known as walking Bibles. You know, they would be in a, you could be in a community somewhere, and if somebody wanted to know what was in the Bible, they would go to a member of the Lord's Church because they knew that they read the Bible all the time. I don't think that happens a whole lot anymore in a lot of places. Now I know, and like I said, I can't say individually who's doing what, but I'm fearful in a lot of places the reason we have so much compromise doctrinally and the reason churches are getting weaker and weaker and more worldly is because we spend less and less time in the Word of God. So we need to be reading our Bibles. As I said, this is a spiritual indicator in your life. Something that you can take to see where you are in relation to where you ought to be. A spiritual indicator. So that's why we want to spend some time talking about the Bible. In Psalm 119 and in verse 37, we have here David. And Psalm 119, which of course has the distinction of being the longest psalm, some call it the longest chapter in the Bible, or however you want to describe it. It's the longest psalm. It's 176 verses long. And what's interesting about Psalm 119 is, what is it about? It's about the Word of God. And it's about David's attitude toward the Word of God. And there's a number of passages in Psalm 119 that we're going to actually look at tonight. So keep it marked as we go through this particular passage. But let's begin with Psalm 119 and verse 37, where David there says, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way." And the idea of your way is what you tell me in the Word of God. And this is one of those interesting passages where David is contrasting God's ways, God's words, with things that are worthless. Now, things that are sinful are worthless where we are concerned. Sinful behaviors. But something doesn't have to be sinful within itself to be worthless. If it's something that takes away from doing what we ought to be doing, if it's something that takes away time and robs us of the time that we ought to spend studying God's Word or reading God's Word and doing things like that, it can become something that is worthless. And so here you, David, and here you have this prayer in the midst of this psalm, turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things. Instead of that, revive me in your way. Let me spend time in your word. Reading is something that was expected as you study in scriptures. You know, here's Timothy, a young preacher, and I heard it said one time, and I totally understand this. If you don't like reading your Bible, you shouldn't be a preacher. or a Bible class teacher. I mean, and there's just truth to that. If you don't like reading, you don't need to be a proclaimer of the Word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 13, where Paul starts here, you know, in verse 12, telling Timothy, let no one despise your youth, but you be an example in all things. But notice in verse 13, he says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourselves entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. How much time does Paul say in here to Timothy, you pay attention to the Word of God? He says it over and over and over. Give attention to reading. You need to be reading the Word of God, and the point is you're reading the Word of God so that you'll know it, so that you'll understand it, and you'll be able to use it in your life. You know, it's interesting over in 1 Thessalonians 5:27, Colossians 4:16, and in other places, the letters that were written to churches, one of the things that was expected as these letters were passed around and delivered is they were to be read. I'm convinced that's how brethren in the first century learned the Word of God. Inspired writers would write letters, and they would be sent to these congregations, and they would come together and they would read the Word of God. And I almost guarantee you, this is a theory, if you will, I almost guarantee you when they read it, they talked about it. You know, they thought, well, what how does this apply to me? And those types of things. So it was more than just this exercise of, okay, I got to get through the book of Ephesians today. Okay, we're done with that. You know, the letter of the church, okay, we read that. Next, what are we going to talk about next week? I'm sure it's things that they thought about. And so on. So when you think about that, the point is read these letters. And they passed them around. They passed them around to other congregations so that they could read them as well. You know, in Colossians 4:16, you read the letter to the Laodiceans and let them read your letter. And so reading was very much an important part of of what we read about in the church as it grew in the first century. We're expected to grow in knowledge. Peter, in his concluding letter in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18, some of the last things that we have said by Peter, he says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's his last encouragement to them. You grow in the knowledge of God, in the grace and knowledge of God. You learn who God is and know more about Him. Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse number 12, a passage that we've spent considerable time addressing, where the Hebrew writer challenges his brethren and he rebukes them because they're not where they ought to be. And he says, for by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God and have come to need milk and not solid food. You ought to be teaching this by now. But instead of teaching it, You know, you've got to start over. Somebody has to tell things to you that you ought to already know. You should be further along. And the idea is you should know God's Word better than you know God's Word. And the only way you're going to know God's Word is by reading God's Word, opening up the Word of God. So that's what we want to give consideration to. And somebody might ask the question, well, why? Why do I need to read the Bible? Well, I'll give you a summary of that. Because it's God talking. It's listening to what God wants you to do. Reading the Word of God is how God talks to us today. God doesn't whisper small messages to you in your ear. I know there are those who say that He does. He doesn't. He speaks to you through His Word. And if something is contrary to the Word of God, it's not God speaking to you. I'll tell you that right now. So if you want to know what God wants you to do today, there's only one way to do that, and that's with this book. A book that we're told was once for all delivered to the saints in Jude and in verse number 3. Once for all, meaning there's not going to be any more. We have the completed Word of God, and that's all we need. That's what we need to seek to understand. And if you want to use the terminology, if you want to connect with God, you need to listen to God. If you want to be able to have fellowship with God, and we talk about that, and the Bible talks about that in 1 John chapter 1, if you want to walk in the light as He is in the light, have fellowship with one another, and I believe that that includes our fellowship with God, you need to communicate with Him. And how do you talk to God? Prayer. How does God talk to you? The Bible. Communication is a two-way street, and we need both of those to have the understanding of God that we need. Now, there's an interesting passage of Scripture that I want you to turn over to in the book of Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy chapter 17. And this is kind of an interesting passage because what's taking place here is instructions are being given to the children of Israel by Moses. He knows that he's about to die. And he gives them instructions how eventually you're going to have a king. And this is what I want your king to do. Now, I want you to notice this. Deuteronomy 17 and in verse 18. Also, it shall be that when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priest, the Levite, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment of the right hand or to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. I want you to notice what it said there. It said, when someone becomes king, the priest needs to bring to him the law, and he needs to write down his own copy of the law. Think about that. Write down your own. You know, there's something to be said about if you read something and at the same time you write it down. It's going to register and mean more to you. And this isn't a one-time exercise. This is just to get you started. Then he said, on a daily basis, he's to be reading it. Write your own copy and read it. You know, I mean, you want to learn God's Word better? There's a little bit of a suggestion for you. Write it down. You know, take a book of the Bible and start writing it down. Word for word. And it'll mean something to you. Hopefully it means something to you if you haven't done. But the point is it something that'll help you understand it more? Because as you're writing it down, you're thinking about it. And make sure that you write it down accurately when you do so. So, anyway, that was just an interesting passage that talks about reading the Bible. And so when somebody talks about, you know, why should I read the Bible? Because it's God's Word and you want to listen to what He says. Well, that's the first part of the lesson that we wanted to deal with. For the remainder of my lesson, what I want to talk a little bit about, or most of it, is I want to talk about how to read your Bibles better. What are some things that you can do to ensure that you will be reading in a way that you'll be learning and you'll be understanding more of God's Word? And these are some practical suggestions, and some of them are things that I have just thought up. Others have come across. Some of them are suggestions by various individuals that I came across as I was presenting this lesson. And the first thing that I want to observe when we talk about reading your Bible and how to do that is, number one, you need to set aside a regular time. And it needs to be done on a regular basis. In other words, not sporadically. It's not enough just to say, you know what, I'm going to spend 5 minutes a week reading my Bible. It needs to be put into your schedule, and it needs to be something that you do on a regular basis. It's recommended you read your Bible every day. It should be something done frequently in your life. And it needs to be something that is planned. And as I said, it happens often. It needs to be a part of your schedule. You know, we're living in times where, people's lives are so busy they have to micromanage everything, and then they have to write this calendar down and say, okay, this is when I'm going to do this, and this is what I'm going to do that. That's fine. Just make sure that one of the "this is I'm going to do" is involves reading your Bible. And you need to set aside enough time to actually get something out of it. You know, I mean, yes, you can get something out of the Bible by reading it for 5 minutes, depending on how much of it you read. But it is recommended that somehow you set aside about 20 to 30 minutes, and at least 20 to 30 minutes. If you got more time than that, great. But 20 to 30 minutes, just set aside some time where you can read the Bible on a daily basis. And it needs to, and I've got the point that it needs to be meaningful because what you're going to do is you're going to read the text, and then you're going to think about what you just read. And that's why you need more than 5 minutes. The 5 minutes is the reading part. But then you got to do like the cow. You know, the cow that's eating the grass that goes and sits under the tree or whatever, and you hear the expression, he chews the cud. That's what you need to do with that which you just read. So set aside a reasonable amount of time and schedule it. And in addition to that, find a time and a place that is free of distractions. It is often recommended that somebody get up early and make Bible reading something that you do fairly early in the morning or late at night. The thing about in the morning is, if you've got a good night's rest, maybe your mind is a little bit fresh, and then, you know, get moving a little bit. But after you get moving, set aside some time to just read your Bible and start your day off with reading your Bible. And that's a good way to start the day, is you're going to read the Word of God. And whatever place that you find to do it, make it a place that is as free from distractions as possible. You know, turn the television off if it was on. And those kind of things. And make sure that you've got a place that's comfortable, you know, a comfortable seat and so on, and good lighting. And if you're going to write some things down, a table in front of you that you can write on and so on, which brings me to the next point. Make sure that you have available what you're going to use to help you as you read through the Word of God. I was mentioning this to Joshua, and incidentally, Mark Roberts preached a meeting where Joshua is at in Johnson City, and this was one of the lessons that he preached. So he's one of them that kind of directed me toward this lesson. And he made the point, you know what, if you want to be effective in reading the Bible, get yourself a notebook and get yourself a pencil. And I kind of recommend a pencil over a pen, because if you make a mistake, you can erase it, you can correct it, those kind of a things. But get yourself a notepad and whatever else you need, pens, pencils, highlighters, rulers. And the highlighters and rulers are, you may want to outline or underline some things or highlight some things in your Bible so that you have it for later on. Have those things available as you prepare to read through the Bible. And make plans to take notes based upon what you are reading. And that's the idea. Because you want to write down some things that you're thinking about. And I'm going to give you some suggestions here as we deal with this in a few moments. Now, as you begin this period of time reading through the Bible, and I've got down here either begin or end, or both, preferably both, begin or end with a prayer. We're told to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5 and in verse number 17. And there's an interesting passage over in James chapter 1 and in verse number 9 or 5 where James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally. As you're studying the Word of God, are you trying to gain a little bit of wisdom of what God wants you to do? Well, ask God. So as you begin your Bible reading, do so with a prayer. Help me to understand this which I am about to read. Help me to have a good and honest heart as I consider this and be willing to apply it to my lives and ask for God's help or strength with those types of things as you begin this period of Bible reading. Next, another point that was made is you need to be patient as you are doing this. The Bible's a pretty big book, and it can become intimidating if your determination is to, I'm going to read through the Bible from beginning to end. That can be an intimidating thing. It gets to be big, and it has some sections in there that are, shall we say, a little challenging. but they are there for a reason. And the point is when you start reading, don't think that you're going to get everything right off, or that you're going to read through the Bible one time and you're going to be a scholar. You're going to know everything. You need to read it over and over and over, and you're going to build on what you've learned from times past. So be patient as you read through the Word of God. And the point is if you are patient and you just keep moving forward, in time, you're going to learn. You're going to learn more and more. And the gauge is not just, well, how much further along am I today than I was yesterday? What the gauge is like, say you begin something at the first of the year, and at the end of the year, you look at where you are compared to where you were at the beginning. You know, there are some classes out there when professors, and I've even seen this in Bible classes before, where at the beginning of teaching on a particular subject, the teacher will pass out a test. And a lot of people don't do so well. You know, on that first test. And the point that the teacher makes is, I'm not grading this or something. I just want you to see where you're at right now. And then at the end of the class, he'll pass out the exact same test. And the object is for you to compare where you are at the beginning and at the end of the class. Well, the same thing's true with Bible reading. But it takes patience, all that time that is in between those things. Another thing to give consideration to is determine that you are going to read systematically. And what I mean by that is you're not just randomly shooting through things. Over time, you ought to read through the entire Word of God. Start with the New Testament. 5 days a week, 52 weeks, a chapter a day, you can read through the entire New Testament. By the way, that's the outline. You know, I mean, that's a part of that daily Bible reading. 5 days a week. But maybe you don't have that much, maybe you don't have time to do the entire chapter. That's okay. Maybe you're not going to get through the entire Bible in a year. But it ought to be your goal over the course of a reasonable length of time. And what I mean by that, don't say, okay, over the next 20 years, I'm going to read through the Bible. Go a little bit faster than that. But maybe take 2 to 3 years. 2 to 3 years to read through the entire Bible. But make the determination, I'm going to systematically move through this. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you set the goal too high, where I've got to get through this entire thing in this length of time, and it's a short period of time, and I can show you Bible reading lists that are designed to read through the entire New Testament in 30 days. But I tell you what, unless you're a preacher or retired, you're not going to have time to soak in what all that is saying. That's the point. So it's better to read a little bit and understand it than to read a whole lot just for the sake of reading a whole lot and not really get what it's saying. You see the point? So just systematically make a plan. I'm going to read through a little bit every day. Whatever time you have. Maybe you only have 15 minutes. I'm going to read for 5 minutes and then I'm going to do something for the other 10. So that's the recommendation that is there. Now, as you do this, you need to have proper attitude. You need to have a proper attitude toward Bible study and Bible reading. Number one, you read the Bible intending to grow. That's why you're doing this. I want to grow in grace and knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to know more about Him. And I want to grow, so I'm going to read in such a way that I will grow. Number two, you're going to determine that you're going to accurately handle the Word of God. You're going to read it properly. You're going to put things in its proper context. And you're not going to take verses out of where they should be. And so that's the idea of accurately handling the Word of God. Make that the determination. I want to go to the Word of God and I want to find in God's Word what He wants me to find. I don't want to put into God's Word what I want it to say. I want to get out of it what He's telling me. And that's called exegesis. If you've heard that, that's a fancy term that means to get out of. You want to get out of it what it actually says. So determine that you're going to handle God's Word accurately. Number three, go to God's Word with a belief that you can understand it. In Ephesians 5 and verse 17, Paul said, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." That's a command. It's an imperative statement there. You're expected to understand it. Over in Ephesians 3, Paul had explained earlier to them, he said, "I'm writing these things so that you will understand my knowledge in the mystery." And of course, that mystery was that the Gentiles are fellow heirs of the gospel. But he says, "I'm writing this down so you'll understand it." Go to the Word of God with the intention of understanding it. Now, again, I'm going to say, you may not understand everything the first time you read it. And there may be some times where you're going to have to sit, I got to study this. I got to go a little bit beyond reading in this particular area. But the point is determine, I want to know what God's Word says. And then the fourth attitude is read it with the intention of applying it to your lives. Again, the Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12, by this time, or 5 and verse 12, you ought to be teachers. You ought to be teachers by now, but you're not. Your intention is to be able to learn it to the point that you can teach it to others. Over in Matthew chapter 7, how does Jesus conclude the Sermon on the Mount? Matthew chapter 7 and in verse number 24, we read in that particular text where Jesus there says, and He says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." What's Jesus saying there? You hear my sayings, that's one thing. But you also got to do them. Friends, we can know the Word of God inside and out, but if we're not intending to apply it, we don't get it. And that's the point. As we read the Word of God, our attitude needs to be that I want to apply it in my life. Now, having done that, the next thing you give consideration to is you need to listen to what it actually says. And again, that's another important point as we think about this. And I came across another resource, and this is kind of interesting. James chapter 1 and verse 19. How often have we talked about that verse? In that verse, James there says, "Therefore let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." What do we usually apply that to? The way we live, right? And it does apply to that. But do you realize when you look at that text what's associated with being swift to hear? Let's go to the text. James chapter 1 and verse 19. James chapter 1 and verse 19. And what we read in that text there, James there says, "Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Now I want you to notice verse 21. "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul." And he goes on and he talks about the word of God. "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this one will be blessed in what he does." He turns, "Let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger." He directs it toward the word of God. Next. That's how you learn how to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And I couldn't help but thinking about, you know, as you're reading the Word of God, do we need to take time to actually listen to what He's telling us? You know, think about it and listen to what He's saying. You know, and also when I think of the idea of be slow to speak, I think of the idea of those who want to jump to conclusions and make it say what it doesn't really say. You know, I'm going to put into it what I want it to say. Don't do that. You listen to what it says. You make sure that when you speak, you're speaking as the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4 and verse number 11. And as far as the anger part of it, you know, slow to anger, slow to wrath. Do you get angry at what He tells you? When you look at His Word of God, do you get angry if you don't like what it says? Don't be angry as you're reading the Word of God. Read the Word of God with the intention of applying it the way that He wants you to, even if it's not what you want to do. Even if it's not what you like. And that goes back to Paul telling Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15. We read this a few moments ago, and he said, "You meditate on these things. Put them in your mind, and you let them rattle around, and you think about them, and you dwell on these things." That's what we need to do. Now, Mark Roberts, he suggests an acronym associated with what should I talk about. And let me see here. I think I am going to stop here. And I'm going to go ahead and I want to continue this next week and just kind of finish this lesson up, because I want to spend a little bit of time, because he talks about that there is an acronym of, as you look at a text of Scripture, some things that you want to look at. And he calls it a path. And it's based upon the word path. Look for something in the text that praises God, something in the text that is an admonition to you, something in the text that will help me to build up my faith and trust Him, and something in the text that gives me hope. We'll talk in more detail about those things, and then we'll deal with some other aspects of this next week. As I've said, and the reason I want to go ahead and take another week is I think this is important. Bible reading is something that is going to draw us closer to God. But we need to do it like everything else. We need to handle God's Word accurately. And if we want to get the most out of it, we need to give thought to it. So with that, I'm just going to go ahead and commend the lesson to you. And just by asking, is His Word a delight to you? And we'll see more about that next week. Do you read His Word in a way that is effective for you? And do you look forward to reading His Word? And we're going to talk a little bit about that next week as well. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and commend the lesson to you at this time. Open your song books now to number 603. In just a moment, we're going to sing this song, Jesus, I Come. At the conclusion of each service, we offer an invitation. And we do so in case there is somebody here who is not right with God. Perhaps something has been said that causes you to realize you are not right with God. And let me encourage you to do what you need to do to take care of that. If you have never put on the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism, becoming a child of God, do that tonight while you have opportunity. Or if you are a child of God and you have not been living the way that you ought to, take care of those sins. Repent of your sins. Go to God in prayer confessing your sins and He'll forgive you. If in some way you need the prayers of the brethren, we give you opportunity to make yourself right. The Lord is the one that is calling you. Come to Him as we stand and sing.